All right. Old Testament Israelites. What do you think of when I say Old Testament Israelites? How would you describe God's chosen people? God's people under the law of Moses? Maybe you'd say they're foolish. Maybe you'd say they were forgetful or absent-minded. Wicked. In many cases, maybe you call them wearisome. What about rational? The older I get, the more relatable the characters of the Bible become. And I'm a little embarrassed to say that it's not always the ones that you hope to relate to. Quickly tonight, I'm going to share a story or remind you of a story about a time where I think that God's people, God's chosen, were actually logical, that they were rational, sensible even. Go ahead and turn over to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. Spoiler alert, we're going to read that chapter tonight. And that's where we're going to spend the next, 19 minutes or so. As you turn over there, a little background. Israel is united under Joshua. Honestly, I'm not sure if they ever really reached this state of unity ever again. The covenant promise has been fulfilled. Israel has finally possessed the land of promise. They've settled it. They've received the promised rest. Their enemies have more or less been reduced to nothing. And so the tribes beyond the Jordan come back. They return. They've executed their duties. And so they're sent home. They're sent home with compliments. They're sent home with encouragement from the great commander Joshua. And if you look in chapter 22, in the first, five, maybe six verses, he gives them a solemn warning. He also charges them to keep the Lord's commandments. But that's not what we're going to read. We're going to pick up in verse 10. Joshua chapter 22, verse 10 through 12. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. When they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, built an altar there by Jordan, a large altar in appearance. And the sons of Israel heard it. They said, "Behold, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar at the frontier of the land in Canaan, in the region of the Jordan, on the side belonging to the sons of Israel." Verse 12. When the sons of Israel heard it, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel gathered themselves at Shiloh to go up against them in war. All right, so on the way home, these three tribes, they assemble this massive altar near the Jordan River. The scriptures reference the sons of Israel. You'll see that quite a bit in our reading tonight. That's basically everyone else. That's the remainder of Israel. And they are disturbed. In fact, they are angry. In fact, they are afraid. In fact, they are afraid that God is going to be angry. And so they prepare for war. Now, we'll talk about what happened, but you might ask, okay, so what's so wrong about the eastern tribes building an altar? So much so that it almost triggers civil war. Well, if you think about it, from the very beginning of the law of Moses, there's this principle of only one sanctuary. That's what had been enforced. That's what they knew. That's what they understood. Now, this one sanctuary, if we're talking about wandering in the wilderness, it had moved 40 plus times. It wasn't tied to a place. It was movable. God had already made that plain enough. In Deuteronomy, he says, at the place which the Lord your God will choose. He says, there you shall bring burnt offerings and sacrifices, etc. It was God's presence that identified the sanctuary, not necessarily a landmark. But that's not what this was. This altar, if you think about it, this altar was really unnecessary. To Kyle's point this morning, sure, they had good intentions, but it wasn't needed. It was presumptuous. And I wonder, are we impetuous like that? Do we rush to make certain decisions? I am. I might spend more time reading a menu than I would a major life decision. But what about in our walk with God? Are we like these Eastern tribes that we've made assumptions about the Lord's desires? Or maybe we disregard them altogether. Again, to Kyle's point, we know that denominations, that's kind of their MO. That's what they've done. They've completely forgotten about what God wants, and they do what makes them feel happy. But hang on. Hang on just a sec. Let's, for context, consider this. These were wealthy men. Look at verse 7. Let's back up to verse 7, Joshua chapter 22. So when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them and said to them, return to your tents with great riches and very much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, iron, and very many clothes. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers. So, again, let's maybe not demonize these men. Put yourself in their shoes. Maybe you would have wanted to construct this altar as well. They've been blessed. They wanted to show God their gratitude. You have to ask yourself, can I find record of what I do in Scripture? Let's keep reading. Verse 13. Then the sons of Israel sent to the sons of Reuben and to the sons of Gad, half tribe of Manasseh, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 chiefs, one chief for each father's household. They came to the sons of Reuben and to the sons of Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this unfaithful act which you have committed against the God of Israel? Turning away from following the Lord this day by building yourselves an altar to rebel against the Lord this day, is not the iniquity of Peor enough for us, from which we have not cleansed ourselves to this day, although a plague came on the congregation of the Lord, that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow. If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands. Take possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, or rebel against by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord our God. Verse 20. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, act unfaithfully in the things under the ban, and wrath fall on all the congregation of Israel? And that man did not perish alone in innocent iniquity. They bring in the priest's son. They bring in the head of household. They say, look, guys, what are you doing? They were angry. They were afraid. And they make a good point. Phinehas, he brings up Achan. We remember Achan's unfortunate story. Achan's greed resulted in 36 deaths in battle. And you might say, well, 36 deaths in battle, that's not a big deal. But you have to remember, that was Israel's first loss. They hadn't experienced defeat before. They had literally annihilated every opponent with no casualties because God was with them. But now he wasn't. So you remember that story. Joshua takes Achan and his sons and daughters. He stones them. He burns their bodies. He burns their possessions. As Christians, we can be forgiven, but it doesn't mean the consequence of sin goes away. I had the kids in my teenage class, I had to pull out a notebook. It's a clean notebook page. No blemish on it whatsoever. I said, okay, now crumble it up. And so they crumbled it up. I said, okay, now smooth it back out. I want it to look exactly like it was before you crumble it up. And of course, you can't do that. That piece of paper is forever changed. And like that with sin, we're forever changed too. So they made a good point here. They were in their right mind to be upset. Let's continue our reading. We're in Joshua chapter 22, verse 21. Then the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, half tribe of Manasseh, answered and spoke to the heads of the families of Israel. The mighty one God, the Lord, the mighty one God, the Lord, he knows. And may Israel itself know, if it was in rebellion or if in an unfaithful act against the Lord, do not save us this day. If we have built us an altar to turn away from following the Lord, or if to offer a burnt offering or grain offering or peace sacrifices of peace, may the Lord himself require it. And so they themselves explain. Verse 24, for truly we have done this out of concern for a reason, saying, in time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between us. You sons of Reuben and sons of Gad, you have no portion in the Lord, so your sons may make our sons stop fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, rather it shall be a witness between us. Let's skip down to verse 29. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away from following the Lord this day. By building an altar for burnt offering, for grain offering, for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. They say, listen, we made a copy so that generations to come would remember what the Lord has done for us to protect us from future apostasy. And so as I wrap up tonight, there's a few things that I want to point out from this particular story. First, the eastern tribes. You'll notice that they patiently wait until the full extent of charges were made and understood by the accused. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Proverbs 15 verse 18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. I'm hot-tempered right now. Anybody want to turn the air down? Be great. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms the dispute. Here's what I didn't notice. There were no interruptions. There's no display of resentment. They listened. Imagine that. Imagine how effective Christians would be. Imagine how effective we could be in this world if we quit interrupting and we listen. I don't have a PowerPoint tonight. Kyle had a fancy video in his PowerPoint this morning, so I didn't do a PowerPoint tonight. If I did, that would be point number one. Point number two, they patiently explained why they had built this great altar. The charge is rebelling against God, and they calmly profess their innocence. Incidentally, this is where we learned that this was a giant replica of the one that was in the tabernacle. You'll notice that even the accused tribes, they fully accept the word of God. They acknowledge that there can only be one altar. So they patiently wait. They patiently explain themselves. They patiently accept God's word. But as I told you in the beginning, this is a feel-good story. This is one time, one of a few, I guess, where God's people were reasonable. They were rational, logical. So not only are the accused to be commended, but also the accusers. The Western tribes. Here's what I want you to think about. Think of the part that gossip, that rumor had in this particular scenario. What if What if they declared war on the basis of gossip rather than launching an investigation? They didn't do that. The Western tribes did not begin this disastrous war without investigating the rumors first. They were level-headed. I've read that level-headed parents will train themselves when their kids do something dumb. They'll say, hey, what happened? What happened? Right? That's what level-headed parents do. The answer in my house is never anything logical or sensical. But that's what you should do. They place the investigation in the hands of competent, fair-minded people. I assume that these chiefs that went to go meet these men were older men. Job chapter 12 and verse 12. Wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. What's the saying? I've got it written down here. The old aren't always wise, but the wise are often old. Is that not true? Regardless of age, I know that these men were wise because of how this particular situation was handled. Point three, for the Western tribes, they went straight to the person accused of sin. They confronted the person directly with what they had heard. Listen, I understand when people don't want to be confrontational. I get that. In fact, I think that being abrasive isn't really the temperament that a Christian should have. How are you going to win souls for Christ if no one can stand to be around you? But problems do arise, do they not? If you have a problem with someone, the scriptures say, you go to them and only them directly. Just like the Eastern tribes patiently wait for the accusation to full extend the charges, the Western tribes should be praised for listening as well. They listened patiently to the explanations that were offered. They accepted them as true. They didn't find this interesting. They didn't find reasons to continue to argue. You might know someone like that. You give them a good explanation, and that's not enough. They still want to argue. That's not what happened here. You know what else didn't happen here? They weren't embarrassed. They didn't get embarrassed about the accusation that they brought. You know what else happened here? They didn't let their feelings get in the way and transform this into something that it wasn't. They accused, they gave an explanation, and the explanation was accepted. Simple as that. Unity was restored, and it was restored quickly. Let's finish our story. Joshua chapter 22. I'm going to hop around just a little bit. Verse 31. And Phinehas said to the sons, today we know that the Lord is in our midst because you have not committed this unfaithful act against the Lord. Now you have delivered the sons of Israel from the hand of the Lord. Verse 32, then Phinehas returned. He returned to the sons of Israel and brought back word to them. Verse 33, the word pleased the sons of Israel. The sons of Israel blessed God. They did not speak of going up against them in war to destroy the land in which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad were living. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad called the altar witness. For they said, it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. And there we have it. That's it. A quick lesson about reason, about patience. And oh yeah, it happened to come by God's chosen people in the Old Testament. Rumor was replaced by reason. Reason led to understanding. Understanding prevented a civil war. And as a result of that, God was in their midst. Now more than ever, I feel like God's people need to show unity. We need to show it amongst ourselves. We need to show it amongst the world. It's got to be genuine. That is our testimony. That is showing the power of the gospel. Not a man-made altar. Genuine faith in God's word, showing reasoning, showing sensibility. All of this comes from the heart. Just a quick lesson about a time when the Israelites, God's chosen people, were actually logical. You can be logical this evening. Scriptures are very clear about God's intentions for us. Scriptures tell us that we have to be baptized to be saved. The scriptures tell us we're not done after being baptized. We also have to live a godly, a Christian life. If we can help you in any of those efforts, come forward while together we stand and sing.